We have heard glorious words. No matter who picks up the Bible, who reads something from it, says about it, it's always the same word and the same blessing that is connected with it. One thing stood out to me. This eunuch went to Jerusalem, but he did not find the right people in Jerusalem. He went where the Lord was not understood. He went to the temple, to where there were scribes and others who had not recognized the Lord and what he was doing. It would have been better if he had gone to Solomon's Hall, where the brothers were already preaching the word of the Lord. But one thing he did, the hunger was not yet satisfied. He took the prophet Isaiah with him. Amen. God finds a way for everyone to satisfy hunger, to satisfy thirst. God finds a way. It can happen to us too, that we go somewhere, but the hunger is not satisfied. The thirst is not quenched. The answer is not given. And suddenly, we don't see pomp and gimmickry, but meet someone who has had an encounter with the Lord. And then it becomes different. Suddenly, there is understanding about the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. And you all know, Philip took up the word and preached the gospel to this man. One should have assumed that if someone really went to Jerusalem, to the city of God, that he would meet God there, hear God's word, be blessed by God, and be able to go home. No, it doesn't need to be that way. Not a city, not a place. God meets us in his word. And through his Spirit, he reveals his precious and holy word to us. Let us read a few more scriptures. I want to start from 2 Kings, chapter 18. 2 Kings, chapter 18, we read here from verse 2, a very wonderful word. Let us take it into our hearts and let it speak to us. I have chosen for this sermon the title, Trust in the Lord. Simply to trust the Lord, no matter what comes or goes. To trust Him in every situation. 2 Kings 18 from verse 2. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehustan. He trusted in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord, God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. So far, this precious and glorious word of God. In Psalm 1, Brother Rus read the glorious word of the one who serves and follows the Lord. What he begins, that succeeds, that turns out well. People who trust in the Lord are like trees planted by the rivers of water. They are not found where the scoffers sit, but where God's word goes forth. Where the Lord speaks to us, there he also blesses us. You have to come there where he speaks to us. When I read the sentence, namely verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. What a wonderful lesson. Not in armies, and not in might, not in himself, but in the God of Israel. He knew what the God of Israel had already done to the people of Israel. And he trusted that the same God would be with him in the same way. This man, Hezekiah, was a brave man. He didn't just preach, he acted. He destroyed what was not according to the word, to bring the people to repentance, so that all idolatry would end. He cleaned it up and brought the people of God back to the Lord their God. He reigned for quite some time, but that is not the important thing. Verse 3 is significant. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Oh, that we could succeed to do what is pleasing to the Lord. What is pleasing to him? When we do his will. If we put our will into his will and do what he has commanded us, then God's well-pleasing will rest upon us. He did what was well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord. May God make of you, of me, of all of us, people who do what is pleasing to God. For on this alone rests his blessing, and only then can he truly be with us. It says here, according to all that David his father did. David was a man after God's own heart. He may have made some mistakes, earthly speaking, but with his heart, he clung to God completely. Such people God wants to make out of us, who will cling to God with all their heart and soul and do what he has commanded. It then goes on to say, in verse 4, it was him who removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves. and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. You all know that sin entered this world through the serpent. And when at that time there was great disobedience among the people of Israel and many died, the Lord commanded Moses to set up a brazen serpent. And I want to say this clearly here. The serpent is never a type on Christ. The serpent was, is, and will always remain a type on Satan and nothing else. But this must also be said, that just as Moses lifted up that serpent, so Christ was lifted up because he had to crush the serpent's head. Both have been made manifest, namely he by whom sin entered into this world and he by whom sin was taken out of this world. We find both there. I hope I don't have to go into details here. I don't want anyone to compare my Lord, my beloved Lord, with a serpent. No, just as the serpent that Moses lifted up was to show the people of Israel through whom sin and disobedience and death and everything came into this world, so then Christ was lifted up to redeem us from corruption and to crown us with grace and mercy. We read here further in this text, or before that, that he basically cleaned up all around. Nothing was left, whether trees, whether images of stones, whatever it was, he struck, he cleaned up, so that God's people would not worship in front of some image, not in front of some crooked tree where some altar was erected, but that God's people would worship in spirit and in truth. There is no need to make an image or some idol, for it is written that those who would worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But see how quickly the spirit of idolatry can enter into the heart of men. In Moses' time, the brazen serpent was a wonderful thing. Anyone could look at it and receive it by faith that Christ, the seed of the woman, would come and crush the head of that old serpent. And anyone who looked at it lived. You must see the revelation in the matter. Do you understand it? Not only that now a serpent has been lifted up, and that only if someone looks at the serpent, he will be saved. Whoever looks at the serpent in unbelief or in a wrong view will certainly not be saved. God really wanted to show what already happened in the Garden of Eden and to show how sin and separation from God came about, namely through the serpent. At that time, and you all know, Moses was the man of God who was faithful in the whole house of God, as Christ is faithful in His own house, as written in Hebrews. Here, this serpent, this image, was given a completely different function. Homage was paid to it. People no longer got well. They got sick. They turned what was once a good thing into something bad. If we look into Christianity, even with Christ, they have done what he did not want done. All the crucifixes, all the things you see, people falling down, paying homage, worshipping. And I got the shock of my life. I've been to the Vatican myself a few times and really watched in Peter's Basilica how people from all over the world kiss the foot of the statue of Peter. But when I saw the photo of Pope Pius XII kissing that foot and having his picture taken, what pathetic idolatry. It can't be any worse than that. All apostate Christendom has made a mockery of our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to the Lord that there are still people who truly worship in spirit and in truth, who have been taken out of error to serve the living God. It says here, as I just read in verse 5, and that is the important thing. He put his trust in the Lord, the God of Israel. And because he did that, he was able to clean up all around. Nothing was left out or excluded. He cleaned up. And what did he clean up? That which stood in the way of God. That which was not in accordance with the word of God. He cleared that up. Thanks be to the Lord for that. He did it because he put his trust in the God of Israel. Beloved, when we preach the word in this time, we put our trust in Almighty God. Otherwise, we could not tackle and overturn all these things. You know what I mean. But it has to be tackled. It must be overturned what is not according to the word of God, so that divine order is restored among the people of God. You all know, when the heathen people serve idols under their trees, that's one thing, it's bad. But when the people of God, people in whom God has done great things, later deviate, become lukewarm, and go from worship to idolatry, that's not what God wants. And I mean, in this time, God has sent a message similar to those days to clean up, to overthrow, to uproot, as the prophet Jeremiah was told, I appoint you today a prophet over the nations. Let me read it, please. It's in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 9 and 10. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. First the one and then the other. Everything that is not according to the word of God, to uproot, to overthrow, to remove, and then to plant, to build up everything that is according to the word of God, so that God can come to his right among his people. For this purpose, God sends his servants and messengers at all times. I will read on here, namely verse 6. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. He clave to the Lord. He trusted in his God and held fast to his Lord. Let us do the same. Trust our God. Hold fast to him and his word. There has not yet been a man who has been put to shame, who has put his trust in the Lord. Should we be the first to be put to shame? No, that is impossible. Thou faithful refuge, rather the heavens fall before your word deceives me, as the German song goes. God will stand by those who stand by him. He will side with those who have sided with him. Amen. God does not compromise. He wants people whom he can have whole and can use whole. He clave to the Lord. I believe I can say that we do the same. We love our God with all our heart. Can we say it like that? Is that really true? Do we really love him with all our heart? According to the scripture, thou shalt love thy Lord. I was about to say, for true children of God, one could leave out the ought and must. When the love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, we cannot help but love God with all our heart. It is like a divine cycle that runs through our hearts. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he loved us out. Thanks be to his glorious name. We don't need a must. We want no ought. We love him because he loved us. And all who have been loved by him will love him and each other in divine love. And the hour has indeed now come for us, not only to proclaim and hear these things, but to ask God for an outpouring of his Spirit, wherein are contained all the gifts and all the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. It is all written. God will also make people out of us who put their trust in him, who do what pleases him, who overthrow and uproot or pluck out what is not of him, who plant and build up what is according to his word. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy foundation of faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, may this weekend also serve to build us up on the most holy foundation of faith, so that we can find anew the connection and fellowship with God, so that God's love can penetrate our hearts anew, and we can come closer to him and also become more intimately connected with one another. I really believe that the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the stronger the connection to him and to each other, the more intimate the fellowship with him and also with each other becomes. How often misunderstandings quickly arise. And it is said of love, love endures everything. It endures everything. It does not even hear the wrong word. It does not see the wrong action. It passes over it as if nothing had happened, for love covers the multitude of sins. You don't talk about a mistake that this or that person has made. You speak about God's revealed love for all of us, which we have personally experienced. What good does it do a person to talk about what he, she, or others did wrong? Let us talk about what God has done right. What we have done is wrong anyway. Only what God does through us is right. Even today, as believers, we can get in our own way when we think we have to do this or that. Only then, when by the real leading of the Holy Spirit, by direct inspiration, we can be given what the Lord wants done, then it is done according to His word and according to His will, and then His blessing rests upon it. I still read verse 7. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. Dear brothers and sisters, we want everything to succeed. We want God's blessing to rest on everything. Let us strive to do as Hezekiah did. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He trusted in the God of Israel. You all know the word from Proverbs 3, verse 5. Who has not written it on the tablet of his heart? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, here it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Praise be to the name of the Lord. I can imagine when Hezekiah was out there smashing the pillars of stone there and cutting down the idol trees, that he felt good about it. He knew that what he was doing on behalf of God, in the will of God, and he did it with all his heart. May the same be with us, that we really do what is to be done out of joy to the Lord, not out of joy to spoil the fun for the idolaters here. That was not important to him. He was concerned about the soul of the people. He felt sorry for the people. He could not have false pity. He could not think, yes, what will they do now? He wanted the one thing to end so that a new thing with God could begin. And the same is still today. God does not want a mixture. God wants the end of one and the beginning of the other. The end with everything that is not of God and consequently does not agree with the word. And the beginning with God, as it agrees with His word. From Psalm 118, I want to read Psalm 118, quite a glorious word from verse 5. Psalm 118 from verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. But I will read on namely the next two verses. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. As human beings, we would think that if there were someone influential among us, the mayor, he would be able to exert influence. What influence could he exert? Who can tell me? If we had someone high up, what influence could he exert spiritually? None. None. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, among you, there are not many influential persons, not high and learned. No, what is foolish in the sight of the world, God has chosen. God does not want earthly influence in his kingdom. God has enough influence. Under his influence we want to be. And when the Lord Mayor comes, or whomever we have here and there, all the way to Bonn, when they come, we want to greet them and welcome them warmly. But all who want to stand their ground before God must submit to God's influence. They must be seized by God. We are not here to be influenced by a highly respected person or even to come under his influence. We are here to hear the word of Almighty God. And we are here under divine influence, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we see that which God has revealed by grace. Just like these men, whether Hezekiah or whoever they were, whoever celebrated victories with God, whoever succeeded with the Lord, they put their trust in the Lord God. And later, they could not say, look, I have done well now. Look now at the fallen trees, the felled trees, the smashed altars. That's what I have done now. No man of God has ascribed anything to himself. Every man of God acted on the authority of the Most High and did what God had commissioned him to do and put his trust in the Lord. May I ask, who divided the Red Sea, Moses or God? God divided it. And what did Moses do? Moses lifted the rod. Moses lifted the rod in faith. He did what God commanded him to do. And God did what Moses could not do. Moses did what he could do according to what the Lord told him to do. God took care of the rest. Who divided the Jordan? Joshua? No. The Lord God Almighty divided the Jordan. Joshua did as he was commanded. Put the Ark of the Covenant on the priest's shoulder and go to the River Jordan. I will divide the waters. Men of God, do what the Lord has commanded them and then count on God to do what he has promised. That is how it is with all of us. When we pray for the sick, we do not heal. We believe that Christ was beaten and smitten in his body, in his flesh, that we might be healed of our diseases. For thus it is written, by his wounds, by his stripes, we have been healed. All we have to do is believe it, accept it, experience it. It is a finished work of redemption for soul, spirit, and body. In these days, on this weekend, it would be nice if we could experience God from within, in the soul, in the spirit, and where necessary, also in the body. We can experience God. He is present. He has made the promises. He confirms His word. Our beloved brother referred to the Great Commission that the Lord gave at the very end. And in Mark 16 it says, I will be with you, and then they will lay hands on the sick, and so on. We do it because we believe that the work on Calvary has already been done. What do you think if some apostle stood before a blind man and he was given the task of healing this blind man? Yes, he would have passed out. He would have said, who am I? I can't do that. But they trusted God and what He had promised. And God was true to His word. Let us do the same. It is not we who are commissioned to do what He has already done. We are here to proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the crucified one. And He was wounded for our sins, stricken and smitten for our transgressions. The chastisement was laid on Him for our peace, for by His stripes we have been healed. A divine fact, we only proclaim it. And now we want to experience it. How many believe that this is really possible tonight? There are infirmities in the soul, in the spirit, in the body. How many believe that God can and will confirm His word today? That it will not return void, but will accomplish what He sent it to do. All things are possible to him who believes. Let us put our trust in the Lord today and forever. In Psalms 118, we read from verse 5, I called upon the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. How often do we find ourselves in situations where we don't know what to do? Let us then call upon the Lord and look up to Him in faith and trust, for He has promised not to leave nor forsake us. It says in verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. Hezekiah feared nothing. He removed what was to be removed, hewed down what was to be hewed down, destroyed what was to be destroyed, built up what was to be built up. He feared nothing. Why? Because he had put his trust in the Lord God. He knew, I do not act in my own name and not on my own behalf. I act in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, and in His holy commission. And God was with him. If the same can be said of us, that we act by God's commission, then God will be with us as He was with our fathers, and will confirm His word now in the end, just as He did in the beginning. There is no other way. God is holy. His word is holy. What He has promised, He certainly keeps. In verse 7 it says, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me. I shall rejoice in victory over mine enemies. Not the enemy's powers over us, but for the sake of the victory of Calvary, we may be victors over all defeated powers. They will not be defeated first. They are already defeated. Jesus will not be the victor first. He is the victor of Golgotha. He is risen on the third day. A brother from New Jersey, just across the river from New York, he asked me to explain to him how the 3 days and the three nights of the prophet Jonah compare and relate to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, "Our Lord was not full 3 days and full three nights." I very kindly wrote back to him that he need not to worry about the length at all. He just needs to read it again properly. There our Lord said, "To you no other sign will be given." Sign will be given. What was the sign? Jonah was at the bottom. He could go no lower. Seaweed had already taken hold around his neck. And there he cried out to the Lord his God. He was lost. He was abandoned, but not by God. What was it? The sign of the resurrection. He who was given up to death, he was saved. He was saved and brought back to land. Not as a disobedient one, fleeing from God, but obedient, serving God. And the Lord was with him. The sign of the resurrection. How long my Lord was down there, I really don't care. He rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. Whether the day and nights were full is also the same to me. But one thing is important to me. He conquered death, overcame hell, took the keys of death and hell from Satan, and rose victoriously from the dead on the third day. Whoever wants to think about time, he can do it. By God's grace, I have understood the meaning, the sign of the resurrection. He who was crucified, who died, who was laid in the tomb, which was yet sealed and was kept under guard, he rose on the third day. To you no other sign will be given than the sign of the prophet Jonah. He who was given up came forth again. Our Lord was given up. He was smitten and he died. But he is risen. He is alive. The sign of the resurrection. And I believe in it. The resurrection power must also be effective in the believers. And we too put our trust entirely in the Lord. And now verse 8 or 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And then the distinction is made in verse 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You can rely on somebody one time and think it's going to be all right. And then you tend to bring in somebody higher and rely on him who has more influence, and you look up to higher. The psalm writer says, "The one is void as well as the other." It is better to trust in the Lord, not to seek help from people, be they high or low, respected or not, but to put our trust entirely in the Lord our God. There are still a few scriptures that speak of this trust, and God willing, we will continue with it tomorrow. May the Lord have succeeded in putting the word of faith and trust, of confidence, into our hearts this evening, that we no longer wait for human help or trust in a man, but really trust our Lord and do what He has commanded, so that in everything that is done, or on everything that is done, His blessing can really rest. Only where what God has said is done, and where it is done according to His word, only there can God bless. And that is why I believe that He will bless and has already blessed. For I believe that in this place we have not proclaimed cunningly devised fables, but actually the true word of God. And where the true word of God is, and the revelation of the name of Jesus Christ, and the revelation of the will of God through the Word and the Spirit, that is where God will reveal Himself. I believe He will do it tonight. He has already begun to strengthen our faith, to build up our trust, not to look on the idols of stone or the trees or anything else, but to the Lord. And He will make it well, and then we will succeed. If we trust in Him, His well-pleasing will be upon us, and then we will succeed in what He has commanded us. Let me read, as my eyes still fall on Psalm 115, on the three verses, Psalms 115, verse 9, 10, and 11. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Paul says in one place, I know in whom I have put my trust. I know in whom I believe. We too know in whom we believe. We too know in whom we have put our trust. How many times has the Lord said, fear not? Trust is related to faith, and faith is related to trust. Often the Bible translators have had trouble distinguishing even faithfulness from faith. One translates like this, the other like this. If God is with us, then we are faithful, then we believe, then we trust, then we do what He has commanded us. Then the non-divine is cleared up, and the divine is built up. Three things are mentioned here. Israel, trust in the Lord. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. And then all, including us, are included. And it says, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Not only Israel and the house of Aaron, but all of us who fear God, not for fear of punishment, but in holy awe. I don't know when it was, but on some Wednesday night in this place, a brother prayed, Lord, if you had not been present here, you could not have spoken to us. I liked that. I included it directly in my prayer. Think about what was said. Lord, if you had not been present, you would not have been able to speak to us. But because you are present, you speak to us through your word and through your spirit. Today, He has spoken to us through His precious and holy word He has spoken to my heart. He has spoken to your heart. Let us trust in the Lord and not lean on our own understanding. He will do it well. He will bring it out gloriously. We too will thank Him for His help, for His support, for all His guidance and leadings. And one day we will also thank Him for all the tribulations and trials through which we have passed and been purified until our faith is found more precious than the corruptible gold that is refined in the fire. Our Lord is faithful. Praised and glorified be His holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let us stand up and give thanks to the Lord together. Before we do that, let us sing the chorus, Just as I am. Lord God Almighty, by the authority of your word and the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask you now to confirm thy word, to bless us, to put in us a trust in you that is unshakable, tried and tested in every situation, in all circumstances. For what you do is well done. Praise be to your holy name, Lord. Whether distress in soul, whether distress in spirit or in body, now you have done it. For we believe in the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. The lost is saved. The bound is delivered. The sick is healed. Lord, I thank you for the full gospel that is about to break through fully anew. Beloved Lord, as your gospel is full, let it break through in all its fullness over the whole person, soul, spirit, and body. Lord, may the effect of your power be so mighty that all would have felt it. I thank you, faithful God, that we too may put our trust in you. And therefore, we shall not be put to shame. Beloved Lord, let no one go down unbelieving in doubt, but pull us out and put us in faith and trust in you, the Almighty God. Beloved Lord, confirm thy holy word on all of us, wherever a confirmation and an experience is needed. And we are all in need. We all need you. And therefore we ask you together, confirm thy word by signs and wonders following. Let it happen now. Let faith in you and your finished work of redemption become so powerful that we experience you right now and thank you for it. Yes, Lord, you have already done it. It happened under the preaching. Your spirit has made your word alive, has worked faith through preaching, and it has been done by the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. All who believe say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to the living God. God is reality. His word is reality. His power is reality. Hallelujah. We are dealing with a divine reality. Blessed and praised be He now and forever. Has the sermon and the word conveyed to you what it is all about? Trusting the Lord and then doing what He wants done, and then His blessing rests on it. Then it succeeds. Then He is with us and it works out. Praise be to His name. Amen.